Well, it is Tuesday. Let me see if I can adjust some headphones here. It's Tuesday, December 10th, and that means it's time for Campus Connection. I have guests here in the studio with me to talk about the school district meeting that's happening tonight. It's a school board meeting. They're going to be going over school district issues. So we have Superintendent Erica Kluepainter here and Board President Mara Lutomski. Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Hello there.
Can you hear okay in your headphones now?
Yep. I'm good to go.
Good as gold.
Okay, great. Okay, so tonight is a regular meeting. It's going to be at 6 p.m. in the library at the high school, the middle and high school. And it's a starts at 6. And what should we say about the meeting? There's quite a bit on the agenda. It's starting off with a presentation by the robotics middle school students, right?
Middle school robotics. I think you just did a little piece on middle school robotics.
Yeah, I was surprised at how many students are involved. It's it seems like a growing, club.
No, nope.
My boys are not.
Not into that.
No.
It's a good option for lots of kids, though. They had a fun virtual competition last Saturday for 6th grade. And then 7th and 8th grade are traveling up to Juneau on Friday of this week.
That's a big trip for junior high kids.
It's a big one. Yeah, they're pretty excited about it. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they'll go. Lots of ferry ride, lots of time, no school missed, but it's going to be a lot of time on the ferry, so they'll be up and back. But they're pretty darn excited about it, so big shout out to Miss Cindy Fry and Mr. Bo Ward for keeping those kids moving forward and keeping the interest going. They're really, wrangling that group of kids is, they're excited, they're busy, they really are into it. So.
And they can continue in high school then with the high school robotics club.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Also tonight, there's several items on the agenda, like, we've talked about this one a couple times before, but it's the continuing dialogue about a new policy, creating one for sex offenders on campus, restricting them, which is something that the state wants school districts to do because there is no state policy regarding sex offenders on campus.
Right.
You've already talked about before how the school district kind of was doing some of those things anyway. In past years when there would be, say, a sex offender as a parent of students attending school.
Right, or a guardian or something like that. Or a situation, local situations that often people know about because it's small towns. And so, the good thing about this particular policy is that, it's not coming at a time where there's been an issue, which is always the best way to have policies, that they're just in place and, that it's not coming out of some sort of emergency or some terrible situation. So that's good. And then the other thing that just as we were looking through that policy, that it does, the practices that have happened in the past are pretty much outlined in the policy. So, the way that it's been handled in the past is how we've handled that if we've had situations. So. And people are always, they're willing to make sure we know information if we should have it. They let us know or if there are any questions or concerns, we are always, we can certainly look it up and research it. Anybody can, actually, as long as somebody's on a registry. So, yeah.
So the school board passed the policy at the last meeting in its first reading. So this will be kind of a final look at it, Mara?
Yep, this will be the final chance that we'll look at it, discuss it, and then either pass it or not pass it. It's always nice to have a policy in place. If something were to arise, then at least we have a starting ground that has been written in, that has been looked at outside of a crisis situation or a problem situation. So, we're able to look at it right now with no issues behind it, and so we're able to look at it clearly as to what's the best for the school district, and we can put it in writing so that future administrators, future school boards, they'll have a policy in place if something were to arise.
Yeah.
Now, when we say campus, restricting sex offenders on campus, we're talking about the schools and then the buildings that the school district uses, like the auditorium and the gymnasium at the rec center. Or would that be just the high school gym?
Well, we talked through that a little bit. I mean, the attorney, when he, we were explaining the way our campus is set up and how that works. And basically what he said is, if it's considered an educational facility for your kids, especially during school hours, then you, it really what it does is it just really gives you, I guess, permission or the right to follow up on those concerns and act on them. And we really always have the right to do that anyway, in that sense. You know, if there were some situation where somebody was in our building or walking through the gym, or, you know, we always have the right, of course, to, you know, ask questions or ask people to leave, regardless of whether, you know, we have information specifically about that. But certainly if somebody is known to be on some sort of registry or something like that, we absolutely have, you know, the right and responsibility to make sure they're not just hanging out in the gym with our kids. It's not a good thing.
All right, anything you wanted to add about that?
Okay. So.
And then, let's see, what else is on the agenda? Sex education curriculum and who teaches it. Now, this is something that the state requires every year, right? That the school boards kind of go through that, what the curriculum is and, you know, who's teaching it. So is that, has that always been the case for the state of Alaska?
It's been since 2016, I think.
It's been 15? In my time being on the board. Yeah, it came into place. So it was just a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, HB 156, it kind of came out around around Aaron's Law, Bree's Law, Alaska Safe Children's Act, and then as well as, you know, basically I think it was bred out of families and parents who wanted to be able to have access to the curriculum and information, which, again, this is sort of like the sex offender policy. We have always allowed people to have access to, you know, anybody that ever had questions or wanted to see copies of things that were, you know, being taught in class. We also had always sent home permission forms just saying, you know, it's coming up if you want to look at anything. So it was not really anything new necessarily for us on the sex education front. The Alaska Safe Children's Act, the Aaron's Law, Bree's Law requirements around dating violence, and that sort of thing. Those were bred out of specific, you know, situations that came with kids and around the state and did require some different education for children as well and some ages that were where it was appropriate, you know, down to what it looked like to talk with kindergarten students about safety and how to talk to adults and who to tell and having trusted people in your life and what constitutes things that are not okay, you know, so developmentally appropriate.
So it's not something that would be, the curriculum isn't necessarily changing year to year. It's just way to put it in front of the board and...
Even if there are zero changes, the law still says that the school board has to bring it before their board. So, and I'm not exactly sure how it was borne out. Like, you know, what school district brought this forward to be a law? There may be other places that have controversial relationships between their school district and their school board. I don't know that I've never felt that our school district or administrators try to keep information from us. I feel like there's a very open door policy to parents and to school board members. We can go in and ask about any kind of curriculum that we want. So I don't know if perhaps there was some school district that felt like the administration was trying to pull the wool over over the school board's eyes and they needed to see it every year. But it does feel a bit tedious that we have to see the same curriculum. I mean, I'm glad to do my due diligence as a school board member and to view it, but there are no changes in it, and to bring it before the school board every year seems like they're trying to create controversy where there's really not any controversy, but I'm happy to bring it before us. Again, it is virtually the same curriculum that we've had in place and the same teachers that we've had in place. So,
it is mainly teachers teaching their classes at the different schools?
Yes, and then the counselors are also involved in that, so that was something maybe we did update that when Miss Etcher moved over to the elementary school, so that was a change, I guess, as well. But the other thing that you have to approve is any guest speakers that come in, and they must be approved by the board and administration, and they do need to be you know, whatever materials they're going to present also needs to be, you know, which again, none of that was new. We would never allow anybody to come into our school that, you know, that we don't know
just
what
going
they're
off
going
the
to
cuff.
Do. Yeah, exactly.
I think there's been WAVE representatives doing preventative things.
Exactly.
Reason.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, yeah, anytime over the years, and again, the same thing Mara just said, if Aaron Michael was coming in as public health or somebody was coming from the clinic or we had somebody from WAVE, you know, we always meet and, you know, review materials and, you know, make sure that we're all on the same page and we understand what's coming in and that we let people, you know, parents and people know what's coming and people have the right to ask questions or, you know, look things over if they want. And we usually have, you know, maybe a parent or two a year who maybe wants to ask questions or wants to look at things. And again, it's
the parents' right. And I don't think that the school district holds that against any parent by any means. If you have that feeling, then come in and talk about it.
Yep. We've had teachers that have said they've had parents. And again, they appreciate that. They just as soon have a conversation with somebody if they have a question. Sometimes people maybe have an idea about something and they're not really sure what it might look like. Well, just come in and ask. And then maybe, you know, I don't think teachers who have had parents come in the past have said any conversation they've had with a parent has always ended with the parent saying, you know, great, sure, that seems, you know, you answered my questions or thanks for, you know, spending the time. We typically don't have people necessarily opt their kids out, but, you know, it's part of the law as well is to have that conversation. So I think people, I think, trust that they can come ask questions and, you know, look at materials that they want, so.
So it seems like this would be along with the sex offender policy, kind of just a procedural thing for the school board, kind of housekeeping and putting things down on paper.
I think for us, I mean, because there's no changes, there might be other school districts that are having to bring this before their board right now that may have changes.
Yeah, I think that's
true.
And
so they may be needing to be looked at it. But for us, there's no. No new nothing.
What about cell phones? Is there anything new with cell phones? I saw that on the agenda. You're going to be kind of getting an overview as a board of what the policies are in each school.
I think that it's just, it has, well, as you know, Angela, it has been in the news and, you know, nationwide as well as within Alaska, you know, school cell phone use and what the policy is. And so I think we're just going to take a look at it. We're going to just basically go over what the school's policies are in place right now and kind of touch on it because if there is a case that people are seeing it come up in the news in other places, maybe they're curious about what our policy is.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it.
I am curious because like you said, it is in the news. There are school districts kind of considering a lot of different ways of having policy around cell phones because more and more kids are having cell phones and at a younger age.
Right, exactly. And I think it's also a nice follow-up to some of the outreach that we've done as a district related to the screenagers showing and the public conversations that we had a couple of years ago and then last year with Fred Lane coming and all the conversations that he had with parents and with staff and with students about cyber traps and cyberbullying and all of those kinds of things. I think what a lot of parents and families talk about and are concerned about is sort of just that 24/7 access. You know, the cell phone generation, I guess, has really created some challenges for parents. And so what we're finding the last few years is a lot more of those kind of conversations with families, like when we do our laptop rollout or if we have during even parent-teacher conferences, that kind of thing, a lot of conversations are centered around that, which actually doesn't necessarily have to do with the school's technology per se, that we feel like, and parents, I think, feel like there's a pretty good handle on, you know, firewalls and just safety procedures and that sort of thing and what's allowed and not allowed at school and that sort of thing. But it's the cell phone conversation that I know John finds a lot with people that come see him in the tech department and principals report it, teachers do too, that there's just a lot of kind of question about, you know, well, how do you manage your kids' data? How do you, can you work with the phone companies to shut things down? It's like, yes, you can. There's lots of things that you can do, you know, as a parent to help your children manage those things. One of the other things is the whole wait till 8th movement that really was a part of the screenagers. That's the recommendations, really wait till 8th for kids to even have cell phones. So that's always a challenge. You guys have kids of this sort of
grade
tween,
school. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
age that
no cell phones. I heavily rely on the school allowing my child to use the phone mm-hmm. afterwards, and I'm glad that they cheerfully do that because that allows me to not allow that excuse in my household that my son says, "Well, I wanted to get a hold of you after school and tell you that I was going to go and do whatever." Mm-hmm. And you know, that's part of the reason why we moved to a small town like this. I don't think that there would be anyone out there that would refuse him to use a phone,
right?
You know, right. at the school or even in the, you know, the downtown district. So, yeah, we don't have cell phones, and I'm glad that we have people in place that will happily allow people to use mm-hmm. phones so that they don't have to, try and twist my arm to say, "I really yeah. could use that phone."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of shift in parents feeling like they do have some tools mm-hmm. to help with this topic with their kids. You know, I think about myself as a parent with my two, and my son was really sort of a guinea pig in this, you know, he's a little older. And so, you know, just kind of trying to figure out how to wind your way through this world of cell phones and when and how often and how much access and what should they be doing. And every year there's more guidance that comes out, and I do think we're seeing a shift, even within just like in the high school setting, there's a little more open policy about cell phones that's different from kindergarten through eighth grade, because the kids are making that shift to, you know, learning how to manage them within the workplace or, you mm-hmm. know, with jobs or in the shop or just in their life, you know, so kind of talking more about that etiquette and what that looks like. And I think there's more and more conversations like that. You know, our coaches, a lot of them now take the kids' phones at night, and they just say goodnight to your parents, and we're going to plug them all in for you and keep track of them from 10 o'clock till 6 in the morning, and you can have them back in the morning. You know, get a good night's sleep, you know, that kind of thing. So I think we're all doing a better job of trying to help manage that, and parents seem to want that as well. That's what we mm-hmm. have found, that a lot of parents are appreciative of the partnership, I guess.
So it sounds yeah. like a lot of dialogue around the culture mm-hmm. of cell phone use, not so much some school districts in the news have been struggling with kids during class being mm-hmm. distracted because they're under their desk using cell phones mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the teachers can only do so much in terms of mm-hmm. managing that mm-hmm. where, you know, they might have a policy in place, but the student body isn't necessarily following it, and yeah. so they're trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
But then you have the flip side where parents want to be able to communicate with their kids.
Yeah.
At least some.
Mara's like,
no, I want to communicate with my kid. But honest, as parents, we really need to also take that step back during those school yes. time hours. We also, as parents, get caught in the trap of immediate response. Like, I needed to get a message for something for my son to do after school, and I caught myself in that trap, like, you know, dang, if he had a phone, I could have sent him this message so I knew that it got to him. And I just need to take that step back and be like, it'll all work out. There's several hours before school's out. I can pass a message through the school secretary, and it worked. It worked 100%. He got the message. So sometimes as parents, we really need to check ourselves too as to how much contact and when our student needs to answer us. You know, can it wait until after school? And if it can't wait till after school, then can we use the proper channels of getting, you know, going through the school secretaries where they can mm-hmm. not necessarily disrupt what is going on in your child's day? You know, they can find them during the passing period, or they can pass it to their teacher who can then hand it to them after the test is over, or,
yes.
you know, X, Y, Z. So you don't have to be right there in your student's pocket either. Part of the distraction mm-hmm. does come from family members, not just from teenagers buzzing each other. So
I totally yeah. agree. And that's actually one of the things when you mentioned that about kids in class and maybe feeling like they have to answer something or whatever out of their desk. Sometimes that's the answer they give is, well, my mom wants me to, you know, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness, if we can't wait, you know, 45 minutes until lunch or something like that, we probably should all kind of take a deep breath and just, you know, if there's truly an emergency, yeah. as Mara said, that's a protocol for anybody. I mean, you can always call an office and say, I need my child to have, you know, mm-hmm. that's always been the case. And we will absolutely, without a doubt, you know, do anything in those kind of situations, of course. But I think I appreciate that comment from Mara. Just, it's important for us as parents. I'm a parent too, so it's that same thing. Like, well, I need to make sure she knows. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, really, is she going to die if she doesn't know this until lunch or even after school? You know, like, check yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, as yeah, that immediacy. I think sometimes we're victims of it, or we're guilty of it, or whatever you want to call it, too. You know,
yeah, it's the nature of the cell phone the immediacy that it offers.
Mm-hmm. So I think I think people are having better conversations around this culture. That's a good way to put it. I think in the workplace we're having more conversations, the adults as well. I hear people talk about it in other work venues, you know, even around in the hospital, or you know, at the, I mean, you know, there's just in shops, you know, Shipwright. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have to when and where and time and place, and if there's a protocol. My son is in a diesel technology program, and that's the first you know, half day of their training when he started his classes was, your phone goes here when you walk in the door at 8 a.m. and it doesn't come back out again until you leave at 4. That's the way it is, you know, and kids will respond to that. I mean, that's, if you set the guideline and you set it in a classroom and say, they're down, they're in your backpack, or they're up here on my desk in this box or whatever, then that's what you need to do, you know, and I would say, you know, for the most part, that's what kids do.
Yeah.
So
it's been quite a learning curve for everyone mm-hmm. over the last decade
mm-hmm.
on
I think so.
What those rules should be and how it should look.
Yeah, and good conversations with kids too. I mean, you always want to have kids buy into it. Like you said, you can institute sort of zero tolerance kinds of things, but we all know how teenagers react and respond to those kinds of things. Doesn't mean you don't lay down a hard line when you need to, but you need to assess where you are. What is the culture in the school currently? What's currently happening? You know, how are the kids feeling it? Do the kids will tell you, you know, they'll tell you what's going on.
And there's been some information coming out in the news, studies of kids and how they feel when they don't have the responsibility of managing mm-hmm. their cell phone
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in class. And there, I think it was a district here in Alaska, actually,
mm-hmm.
that tried to go cell. I think it might have been a private school district, though, but they went cell phone free. And after the initial shock wore off, the students were saying that they actually felt relieved because they didn't have the social stress of managing it
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't an option during school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I think there's been some places that have made that attempt for sure, you know, to try that and see what happens. And I do know that is also a concern for staff members and for parents alike, is that is the anxiety related to cell phones and social media and that sort of thing. And again, we have our sort of window, our 6 hours, you know, the other 20, you know, the other 18 mm-hmm. hours is challenging, you mm-hmm. know, too. So that's that. I think that's why that collaborative partnership is really important. And we also have situations where we've had kids that really, their parents feel that their kids have a pretty significant addiction issue to their phones in general, to that social media connection. And we certainly have worked on individual plans with kids in our own school on that, and said, nope, you just check it in the morning, and you can get it at the end of the day.
Wow.
And we do that now. Those are things that are in place currently. So, so I think we try to, it's more of a cooperative, collaborative relationship, and I think parents feel comfortable coming to us, you know, with those, like, we need help. Can we work together, you know, mm-hmm. on this? Sure.
Yeah, because like you said, it's new for a lot mm-hmm. of families out there.
Yep.
How do Absolutely. You do it if you haven't done it before?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always that the cell phone itself is the enemy.
Right.
You know, it's a great tool. It's sometimes the things that are on the cell phone that mm-hmm. are, you know, the problem, maybe that are causing divisions or that are causing distractions or mm-hmm. Whatnot. So, and those are things that we're going to have to teach our kids, and whether you're teaching that in your own home or if the school is teaching it as well, you know, how to navigate that. Social media mm-hmm. isn't like just walking away from school. You know, back when I was growing up, I left those kids, whoever they may be, I left them back at school, and I didn't have to see them again for however many hours. And, mm-hmm. You know, I got to shut off, basically.
Yeah.
And these kids today don't necessarily get to do that if they're involved in social media, or even if they're not involved in social media and someone has shared their cell phone number and with, you know, someone who might not be so friendly towards you, you know, they can't necessarily shut that off. Well, I am very thankful in the age that I grew up. You know, I grew up on over those decades of where it all changed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, going from the nothing to the everything. You know, I got to see it all kind of play out in my basic childhood.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and like I say, I think if we could help families and parents focus on that wait till eighth, honestly, I think that is a huge message for our parents and for our kids. There's been a lot of research about that. I mean, they're not really quite ready to manage all those things, you know, and so it makes it, it just adds more stress mm-hmm. and anxiety, I think, to our kids' lives, and they live in a whole other world that parents don't know about, and they're pretty young to be navigating it. So some of the challenges and things that could come at them, or the kind of the dangers that are out there, because unfortunately there are. Mm-hmm. And even with the most well-meaning, you know, fun apps or whatever, when they're open, you know, people can get in there and people can...
Well, I'll tell you, it's not even just the people who can find your kids. It's the things that your kids can just stumble upon. Like, there's no parental controls in some of the social media sites. So even if they're only friends with XYZ person, that doesn't mean that there's not someone out there who has a completely open social media page that posts whatever they want that your child can't stumble across. And some of the apps like Instagram or TikTok or, you know, those types of things that just kind of put things in, like make suggestions towards you, some of those suggestions are terrible suggestions. I have never been so surprised at some of the things that just have randomly popped up while I've been on those apps, and they're disgusting, like just terrible things that I would never want my child to just happen across. So I think that Fred Lane really drove home the point that giving your child where a cell phone that you haven't yourself like gone through and set up the settings and set up the apps and put on the controls is one of the most dangerous things that you can hand your child because of the access that it gives them just to the world that we don't necessarily want them to be navigating on their own, for sure.
Yeah.
But just the access that it gives.
And unintentional, like you said, it could be completely... innocent.
They don't have to be
trying to.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots to talk about. I'm sure we'll talk about it more at the meeting tonight.
Oh, maybe.
Anything else before we go that you wanted to touch on?
What else is going on? Well, our Day of Giving is coming up in December at the high school. That's on that Friday right before break, which is always a super positive event. I think this is the third year maybe that they've done it. Mm-hmm. And so if you're around town and you see lots of high school kids.
And are they still looking for places to participate in?
I think if you're hearing this right now and you're thinking, oh, I could really use a couple kids to help do something, you know, I think you could probably still check in at the office, you know. I think they're trying to get some kids penciled in to activities
service
and
project,
get it organized.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Quilts of Valor, like what we saw during the Veterans Day, that's another activity that's happening this year, and kids can sign up for that. And I think they're cleaning up the gun range. Mm-hmm. Now my mind's going blank. Anyway, there's
some wrapping presents.
They're wrapping presents. They're going to be ringing the bell. They're doing some work around town, helping breaking up some ice, doing some cleanup around like that.
If there's snow,
if there's fresh snow,
you know,
exactly.
They'll be out shoveling.
Exactly.
Right. It's supposed to come back on Wednesday.
I think so. We are supposed to get some. So anyway, so that's coming, and that's always a great, you know, holiday activity. Nice to give back to our community that gives so much to us. So we really enjoy doing that, and the kids feel really good about it.
Yeah, it's nice that they have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us today, and we will see you at tonight's meeting at 6.
Sounds good.
That meeting is at the high school library again, and it is open to the public, but if you can't make it there yourself and you want to stay informed, you can tune in to KFSK. We'll be airing the school board meeting live. Up next is Ross Nanook III with Street Beat, and he has some music lined up for us here to start us off.